I'm here.
Okay, good.
Good evening. I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic.
Brian.
And I'd like to thank Colleen and the Saturday Morning Sunrise group for giving me this opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope at this meeting. I see a lot of familiar faces, which is great. I've spent a lot of time with a lot of people that are in these rooms, and what a gift it is. So a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. You know, my story, and that's what it is, continues to evolve with my recovery. And the story that I told when I first got in versus the story that I know now is so much different because I'm coming to know who I really am. I had a childhood where my dad was an alcoholic. All of his brothers were alcoholics. His father is an alcoholic. And the story goes that my mother attended her first Al-Anon meeting and Dad flipped out shortly thereafter. And he never came back. So my father was my first greatest resentment. I don't blame my dad for my alcoholism. That was a choice that I made. I believe that I was born an alcoholic, actually. I think I was just waiting to take that first drink. But my mom was a fantastic, strong woman. She did a great job raising me and my sister on her own. And I was raised in a really tight-knit neighborhood in Lafayette, California, where all of the neighbors looked out for one another. There were a number of men that filled that father figure for me. There was a neighbor next door who was 4 years older, and he was the all-American athlete that taught me how to play sports, how to box. He was just a really kind, gentle soul. And I was so blessed to have him in my life. I was a pretty normal kid. But as I got a little bit older and my mom worked full time and I had summers off, I made a decision to hang out with some of the other kids in the neighborhood. And to do so, I entered in. The one young man, we called him the professor, and he was, he built a still in the basement of his home, and we started to experiment with alcohol. And while the first couple of batches were a little bit crude, by the end of summer, he was making Everclear, and we had an endless supply of booze. And, it was great to feel part of and fit in with the older kids. And it was fun at first, but I got to tell you, trouble followed almost immediately thereafter. But I was willing to take on the troubles because I enjoyed the feelings that I got, when under the influence of alcohol. So, I had a turning point where we moved out of my childhood home, and I ended up going to a new school. I was a freshman at a brand new high school and really didn't fit in with anybody except, those people that I found, and I found them, I gravitated towards the people who were at Smoker's Corner, and those were, people that were experimenting also with, alcohol and other substances. And that's just what I did. That took me down a road where, by the time I was 16, I had moved out of the house. I was living on my own. And I'd gotten in quite a bit of trouble. I'd been arrested as a juvenile, incarcerated as a juvenile. The police had involved a lot, and my poor mother, I put that woman through hell. And, due to work credits, I graduated high school, but things weren't getting any better. So I, enlisted into the United States, Marine Corps, and I got the father that I never had in the form of a drill instructor, and my life got really good. I I cleaned up, I sobered up, I followed instruction, I towed the line, I had some success. I graduated as an honor man with dress blues and the Leatherman watch and all the gifts. But the day that I graduated, I did what I always did and I got drunk, you know. Shortly after, you know, I would tell you that the military helped keep my life somewhat manageable for the 6 years that I was in. I was thinking about that today. It was when I was discharged honorably from the military. That's when my disease really took off. And that's when I hit one of my first bottoms. I got married. I met a gal at a kegger party, and that's just the kind of guy that I am. That's what I do. And we did what we do. We had fun. You know, back in those days, it was all about partying, and it was a party. Life was a big party. We had our first child, the beautiful boy, and we put him at risk. And it was at a time where parties were taking place around mirrors that were laid flat on tables, and there was a lot of alcohol to be had, and it led to really late nights and or really early mornings and or no sleep at all. And that is that's really what led me to my first bottom. And that bottom consisted of me getting asked to leave my home by my wife and her dad changing the locks on the doors. And only by the grace of God was I able to somehow get sober long enough to get back in and maintain some sense of normalcy. And how does an alcoholic do that without any tools? At that point in time, I was doing some maintenance drinking. Because you got to understand that with my father being my greatest resentment, I swore that I would never be like him. And I went to great lengths to prove myself non-alcoholic. So my entry into Alcoholics Anonymous came in the back door. I told my wife that she had a problem and that she didn't have the guts to do anything about it because I only knew how to blame. I spent my whole life on blaming others for my circumstances. And my wife opted to check herself into a 28-day treatment program, and I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that very next day. And I was welcomed right away. It was a very warm group of people at the Concord Originals, the First Christian Church on Willow Pass Road. And I felt like I was surrounded by, family and friends that I hadn't had in a long, long time. I was welcomed. I was welcomed back. I was invited to come early, stay late, go out to coffee. I will tell you what cemented the deal for me though was, when my wife went into the treatment program, I had to give up our two kids to my in-laws, to take care of. And it was at that moment that I realized I'd become my father's son. And it was at that point I was truly disgusted, who I'd become, and I was willing to do anything. And by the grace of God, I'd hit a bottom from which I had been sufficient enough for me to maintain recovery, because I never wanted to get back to that point again. That emotional pain was greater than any physical pain I'd ever felt in my life, and pain for an alcoholic is a great motivator. And it motivated me to get a sponsor, to work the steps, to read the big book, to get into service. And working the steps, it was really easy until I got to the fourth step. And it was really hard when I had to sit down and go through my fifth step with my sponsor and tell him about all the things that I had done in my disease. But I had a loving sponsor and he told me that's not who I was, but those are the things that I did under the influence of alcohol. and other mind and mood altering substances. So he extended love to me, and it was the love that I received that kept me in. I found a home in Alcoholics Anonymous. About six months, the compulsion to drink or alter my mind in any way or form was lifted, and I started to figure out how to do life. So we started to go to baseball games, football games, vacations, concerts. We even had our first party at the house without alcohol, and my sponsor showed me how to do that. And I was really nervous about that, but it turned out to be a great time. And I got introduced to a group of men at the Martina Solano Club early on in sobriety, and they named themselves the Jefferson Group, and there was 18 of us, and we'd go away for biannual fishing trips up to Lake Almanor and other places in the high Northern California Sierras, and we'd fish and we'd do meetings and we'd fellowship, and it was great. I still do that, not every year, but about every other year. I'm still connected to those men. The fellowship of AA grew up around us, and AA became our whole lives. Outside of our immediate family, everything we did with people that were in Alcoholics Anonymous. And we felt at home, and we felt safe, and we opened our hearts, and they opened theirs. And there's something about a sharing of the heart that is so much different than a sharing what I think. And it's in that connectiveness that I've built lifelong friendships. I've been connected with some men for close to over 27 years now. And that's an amazing thing, because I was the type where I'd destroy relationships. The gifts of AA for me have come in the form of what it's done for my family. I think about the sense of peace that it gave my mother, the example that it provided for our children. And when they got into trouble, they knew where to go and what to do. And two out of three of our kids have gotten into some pretty heavy drinking, and both of them have had experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the grace of God, they're both sober today. That's their program, not my program. That's their business, not my business. But boy, it sure is great to know. So things have turned, and I was able to make a living amends to my mother for 20 plus years prior to her passing, and I gave her the very best of what I had to offer. And I was able to, when she lost the ability to drive, I was able to pick her up and take her for drives. I remember as dementia was starting to set in, and she was having a hard time remembering things that were right here, right now. And we got into my car, and I took her for a ride out to Alameda, where she grew up, and she was able to take me right to the house that she grew up in. She remembered the address. She remembered the phone number. What a beautiful moment that was. And when my mom passed, I had no guilt, shame, or remorse. I had set all things right. And that was a gift for me. And God willing, a gift for her, just not to have to worry about me anymore. I found forgiveness for my father in the program of AA, and I worked the steps around him multiple times, because my dad was, he was an alcoholic, so selfish and self-centered to the extreme. Well, as I began to understand who I am, what I began to realize is that not only am I father's son, but he is within me. I am within him, or I was until he passed. And I think as I look back on it, My dad made the greatest sacrifice of all because he was the mere reflection of what I didn't want to be. So I think, and I know that he suffered, and I know that he was lonely. I know today that his life could have been so much different if he'd had this gift. But that wasn't God's plan. And I accept God's plan today as to what that was. And I realized that my father made the sacrifice to show me what I didn't want to be. At least that's the way that I interpret it. And, you know, if it hadn't been for that, then maybe I would have been okay being an alcoholic. Maybe I would have accepted it, accepted my plight, or told you that it was your job to accept it, or just moved on from it. But, that was a gift. And I was able to, you know, the last 10 years of his life, he had stopped drinking because he fell down and broke his hip. And that was his bottom. You know, we were able to go out and, once a month or so go have breakfast with him. And so I had some form of a relationship. I can't tell you that we had the heart to heart talks that I would have liked to have had. But I had something I didn't have. And that was that was the time spent together. Yeah, I, prior to coming to AA, I always wanted my life to be something that it wasn't. And what I've come to realize in AA, I've had, always had exactly what I needed. And, what I've learned is that it's not so important that I get what I want anymore. And I have this gratitude for the needs that have been met. You know, I got an opportunity, within the last month to meet through COVID, through Facebook, through COVID, the inactivity, through that old neighbor, that, idol that I held, who was my 4 years, my senior, and such a guiding, a presence in my life. I got a chance to talk with him for the first time, and oh my God, it was 50 plus years. And what a gift that was. I got a chance to make an amends with my dad's family over the course of the last 18 months. I lived with my aunt for a while. I resented all of my dad's family for not holding him accountable for his drinking. I knew nothing about Al-Anon, otherwise maybe I would have had some tools to help me. I've made contact with a number of men's groups. There's one that I was introduced to early on. It was called the Pax West Men's Group in San Francisco. It meets at the old St. Mary's Church in Chinatown. It was a sponsee of mine that attended the Brown Bag meeting on a weekly basis in the city. He introduced us to this annual speaker meeting that we attend. We still attend it. This is the first year it hasn't happened. That meeting spawned into a men's breakfast club that's about 4 years old now that meets monthly in Walnut Creek. That spawned into a men's retreat at San Damiano, which has spawned into a family picnic. I've got another small group of men that I meet with on a weekly, right now it's a weekly basis. Leading up to COVID, it was a monthly basis, and we read AA literature, and we get together, and we study the literature, then we come together and we break bread, and we share experience, strength, and hope around that. And I've got a tight group of men that that know everything about me. I have no secrets, and that is a gift. Before coming into AA, but when I was as a kid, I knew that I had an understanding of God, but I believed I was going to hell for the sins that I had committed. But in AA, I was initially introduced to my God sponsor, to my sponsor's God, and then ultimately I had another sponsor who told me I could roll my own God. He told me it was time to get off the cross, and they needed the wood. They were building an ark. And I've had great sponsorship in AA. I've had great service commitments in AA. I got into H&I, and I went to the Shenham Center for years with my one sponsor carrying the message. And what a gift that was. I think H&I has been my most favorite service position of all, short of pouring coffee and setting up meeting rooms. What a gift that was. My relationship with God today is much different. My prayers with Him are deeper. I think of Him more often. He is my solution today. I spend a lot more time in the solution than I do in the problem. And when I do get tripped up, I know where to go. I've got a sponsor that lives on the East Coast, and I call him every Friday morning at 5:30 a.m. on my way to work. And he knows how I'm doing just by the sound of my voice, and I know how he's doing by the sound of his voice. In the last 18 months, I hit a bit of an emotional bottom, and it made me realize that I have more work to do as it related to my emotional sobriety. And I ended up in the rooms of Al-Anon, and I got into Al-Anon, and I got in doing the same thing that I was taught to do in AA. I got a sponsor, I got a service position, I got into the book, I got into the steps, and I've headed down the path of recovery. I'm in the middle of doing a four-step inventory in the Blueprint for Progress, which is a really deep dive and deeper than any dive that I've ever taken. But I'm beginning to understand why certain behaviors that I've been displaying or utilizing for years are no longer working for me. And I understand today that those were behaviors that were modeled for me and that I adopted. But I'm having a chance to go back and look at them and undo them and change my response. So my recovery continues. I think, I'm an alcoholic, and I'll be an alcoholic till the day I die. I'll be in recovery till the day I die. I will never be recovered, God willing. The old timers always said, we wish you a slow recovery, and I didn't understand what that meant when I first came in, but I do understand what that means today. The thing that attracts me to my Al-Anon home group is the love in the room and the light in the room. It's different. And I'm so grateful that that is part of my journey. I don't know if I have a lot more to say other than I'm truly, truly grateful for this second chance that I've been given. And thank you all for being part of my road to recovery. Thank you.